Twin white spumes spurted out from the rear of the flagship. Ryan spotted Dean on the 60-footer. The boy fired the high power at the pirates following Ryan into the river.
Dad, hurry!
Ryan saw Donovan haul himself aboard the flagship, dripping wet and slipping across the deck. JB stood on the flying deck, working the controls. Only one of the other Foundation men had made it to the vessel. Ryan ran as best he could. The water rose to his chest by the time he reached the flagship. He reached up and caught the built-in stepladder, then pulled himself aboard. Donovan emerged from below decks.
Did you find it?
It's there!
Hang on!
JB threw the twin diesel engines to full ahead. Mired by the weight of the space station section aboard, the boat wallowed in the river like a mud pig on a hot day as the screws churned the water. Then it gained speed as it moved forward, rising inches as the hull hydroplaned. Taking the brief respite to reload the Steyr, Ryan shouldered the rifle and started firing. He aimed for people as well as exposed engines. JB shoved the shotgun forward, fired, and grabbed for the wheel again.
Dean! Jack! Hold the position here! I'm going up topside with JB!
Ryan crossed the deck as fast as he was able. Once there, Ryan peered out at the harbor. Several of the pirates' vessels sat stranded in the water, put out of commission by Jack, Dean, and the Foundation men. Several more of them cut through the water. Seven of the boats formed a blockade line across the narrow mouth of the harbor. The pirates aboard them opened up with their weapons, creating a sheet of bullets. JB quickly removed his fedora. He kept the lever at half speed to maintain the course toward the blockade.
What do we do in the blockade?
Pick the weakest point, then run over them.
We can lose this boat.
Stay in this harbor much longer. They'll shoot it out from under us anyway. They're picking up on accuracy.
I noticed that. Between the third and fourth boats?
Yeah.
Do it now?
Yeah.
Ryan pulled the Steyr into position, staying only enough above the edge of the plexiglass window to see his targets. He kept the rifle's barrel off the frame, trying to keep it steady with his body. Ryan squeezed off a shot, missing the outboard engine on the third boat from the left by inches. He fired again, getting closer. JB buried the speed controls.
Here we go!
Ryan fired three more times, hitting the outboard engine twice.
This is it! Everyone to cover! Now!
Jack, Dean, and the Foundation men dove for cover as Ryan doubled over and butted into the padded console of the vessel himself. The collision hammered Ryan against the console, his face smashed into something hard and unyielding. Then they shot past the blockade.
Woo-hoo!
Looking back, Ryan saw the twisted wreckage of two boats in their wake, one of them in flames. Donovan joined Ryan and JB on the flying deck.
We didn't put as many down of them as we hoped.
Maybe we got enough. We'll see how things go up ahead.
The Trap, with the six machine gun outfitted boats, waited around the second lazy curve of the river. They had the jump on the pirates, and the 60-foot powerboat had more speed than Ryan had hoped. He retreated down the ladder to the stern to help defend against the front line of the pursuing pirates. Glancing ahead as they rounded the second curve of the S, Ryan saw the tattered green shirt flying from an oar on the east side of the river. He lifted the Steyr and fired off three rounds, signaling the shore teams to get the first phase of the Trap ready. Ryan had chosen the spot when he'd first seen it. Leafy trees hung low, out over the river, providing plenty of cover for anyone coming from the north against the current. Three of the boats occupied either side of the river, their motors running. After the 60-foot powerboat rushed through the area, a span of fishing net lifted in the water. The net held remote-controlled Class X packs JB had put together from supplies the Foundation people had back at the dam site. One of the Foundation sec men in the six boats held the remote control, in case Ryan and the others hadn't made it back out. The first pirate water bike hit the net and instantly got tangled up. It flipped end over end, spilling the rider into the river. Two more rammed into the net as well, with the same results. The fourth water bike managed to curve away in an effort that left a white roil of water in a semicircle that washed through.
It'll take them a while to get the courage up.
But they'll follow us?
No doubt about it. You took the space station section back. Killed a lot of them. If Barbarossa is as interested in building his private navy as you say he is, he can't afford to take this kind of beating without getting his pound of flesh back.
We used up a lot of our stashed Plazex. We're gonna have to hump a fresh load in from the Foundation.
I think you can tell whoever runs the Foundation that it was well spent.
The six Foundation powerboats pulled up alongside the flagship.
Going to be a big race back to the dam, isn't it, Dad?
Yeah, and even going at full speed, it's gonna take over an hour to reach it.
78 minutes later, by Ryan's chron, JB piloted the pirate's flagship into the mouth of the narrow canyon, leading to the oversized cistern the Foundation people used as a base. The Armorer kept the power on full ahead, skimming across the water as the diesels pushed them toward their final destination. Ryan stood with difficulty on his wounded leg, which throbbed now, swelling from all the damage and stress. The pirates had learned to stay back. They were assuming the role of hounds in a long and arduous chase. They intended to run the Foundation boats to ground and kill everyone aboard. Ryan glanced ahead again, just as the flagship roared through the canyon into the broad expanse of the cistern. He spied along the top of the canyon, spotting the Foundation people on the edge around the dam. Donovan had judged it to be the safest place.
Hold on!
The flagship roared up into the rocky ledge where the Foundation people had made their campsite. Ryan gripped the railing as the hole ripped out from under the big boat. It listed, turning over on its side. He forced himself to his feet, standing on the console as the boat slid sideways. Ryan vaulted onto the rocky ledge in time to watch the other six powerboats race to shore as well.
Get your asses over here! Move it!
Two men stayed with each boat, taking the 50-caliber machine guns loose from the side rails. The extra men from each group raced over to the pirate flagship. Men atop the dam lowered a huge fishing net with attached cargo hooks. Donovan and some of the men climbed into the 60-footers below decks with the hooks and nets, attempting to salvage the piece of space station. Ryan and JB set up a fire zone, then liberated disposable logs they'd found inside the redoubt.
We got it! Give the signal to haul her up!
The men above hauled up the cargo net.
It's out! Keep hauling!
And here comes the bad guys.
I got the first shot.
Go!
The 94mm warhead sped just over the top of the cistern water and collided with the second boat back in the cluster. The resulting explosion took out three boats and threw a wave of fire over the others. Confusion swept the pirates' ranks.
Donovan! Get those people up to the dam!
The Foundation man and his teams wasted no time in scaling the rope ladders that had been thrown from the top of the dam.
Jack, Dean, go!
The boys scrambled up the rope ladders. Shouldering the tube-shaped weapon, Ryan fired the law at the largest cluster of pirate boats he saw. The impact flew fiery remnants into the air. Ryan didn't wait to see any more, sprinting for the nearest rope ladder with JB at his side. As he made his way up the dam, half dragging and half climbing, Ryan saw the pirate boats get organized again. Given how many he spotted, he knew the ones they'd seen in the small harbor earlier hadn't been all of them. Barbarossa had evidently split his forces. 40, maybe 50 watercraft had crowded into the cistern. Ryan had made it halfway up the rope ladder.
Donovan! Blow the canyon walls!
You and JP won't make it if I do!
Fuck it! Blow up now!
Go!
A mass of rock slid into the canyon that bottlenecked the cistern. In seconds, the canyon was blocked, sealing off the pirates who were inside from the ones who hadn't made it. Ryan knew there had to have been only a few of them who hadn't come into the killing zone. JB made the top of the dam. Slowed by his injury, Ryan found himself with 30 feet left to climb.
Blow the dam!
Not yet! You can make it!
Blow the fucking dam!
Go!
The dam blew, releasing a cascade of water that leapt out into the cistern like a live thing. It surged over the pirates' vessels, smashing and overturning them as if they were a child's toys. As the crest of water churned over him, Ryan clung to the rope ladder, his shoulders screaming, feeling the rope burn his palms as it slid through his hands. Then the water was gone, the crest falling, joining the lower rush that continued to spill from the broken dam, obliterating the pirate armada. The witch joined the companions that evening at the new campsite the Foundation people set up. Darkness had fallen all around them, complete and unforgiving. Clouds blotted out the moon and stars. Ryan knew at once she was one of the chosen from her style of dress and the distant look in her dark eyes. She was lean and curved, surely no older than 19 or 20, pretty enough to turn the heads of men. Donovan brought her over to where Christy sat on a sleeping bag.
This is my sister. Her name's Dora.
What's she gonna do?
She's gonna withdraw the dead chosen from Christy's mind.
Dora knelt in front of Christy and put her hands on the redhead's temples.
Crudelius est quam more semper timer mortem.
Christie reached out and took Ryan's hand, squeezing it tightly.
Humanitate. No! You fucking slut! You traitor! No! No! No!
No! The two women propelled away from each other, both knocked backwards. Dora wiped bloody spittle from her mouth with the back of her hand. She glanced up at Donovan.
It is done.
His heart pounding with fear, Ryan glanced at Christie.
It's true, lover. Nobody in here now but me. All alone again. Thank Gaia.
Then she slept. Ryan held her hand while everyone left them alone together. And he held it for a very long time after that. The next morning, after quietly pulling their supplies together, Ryan and the companions, accompanied by Donovan, made their way to the redoubt. While the others went in to prepare for the jump, Ryan stood outside with Donovan.
After seeing how easily you open these redoubts, there's people at the Foundation who aren't going to be too happy to know I let you go.
We had a deal.
I know. But you didn't have all your cards on the table.
I never do.
I guess this is goodbye, then. Unless I can talk you into coming up to the Foundation.
Truth to tell, I'd like to see the place. Maybe another time.
I'm still curious.
About what?
How you knew that you could trust me to let you go.
I didn't trust you. During the raid on the pirates, Jack put a Plasex bomb on the space station section. If we needed it, there'd have been a way out.
Ryan left Donovan standing there, with his mouth open. He entered the redoubt and keyed the sequence to close the door. Ryan made his way to the Matrans and shut the door, automatically activating the sequence that would send them someplace else. After glancing around at the other companions, who had already prepared for the jump, he took a seat on the floor beside Christie. The familiar fog lifted from the glowing metal plates and obscured the view through the colored armor glass. He turned his attention to his lover.
Feeling better?
Yeah, lover. And after things calm down at the other end of this jump, I'm gonna show you just how much better I'm feeling.
Christie squeezed his hand. Feeling the transfer blotting out his senses, Ryan closed his eye. Deathlands is a trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 1999, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, David Coyne, Tim Carlin, M.B. Van Dorn, Michael Glenn, James Lewis, Kate Torrey, Dylan Lynch, Christopher Graybill, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Bob Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Johan Detweiler, Greg Reinfeld, Brian Rogers, and Temeskin Wubna. Graphic audio sound design by Greg Reinfeld, Brian Rogers, and Temeskin Wubna. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Dan Smith and Nathaniel Perry. Book adapted for graphic audio by Bob Supan. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lothar Holtz, and you have just been privileged to witness the premier non-laboratory test of Plattdeutsche Amerika's dynamic interface system.
No, that can't be true. This is amazing.
What is?
You see that man in the gray? We downloaded his thought patterns into our system along with the others in the bank. If I didn't see him with my own eyes, I would swear the patterns were a computer construct. This man interfaces with the computer better than any human I've ever seen. He's remarkable.
Has the super-secret crime-fighting government organization known as CURE been betrayed to its enemies?
May I have a seat?
Yes.
I'm certain you're wondering why I'm here.
The thought had crossed my mind.
I know of Shinhanju.
Can a house divided still stand?
Remo is not himself. He is being manipulated.
Do not be a fool, Smith. Remo, step aside. Remo!
Chun! Remo is under some kind of mind control. His actions are not his own.
Has Master Chun's past finally caught up to him with fatal consequences?
You've amassed the Van Berlinfeld? You murdered Sir Chancellor.
If you refer to the strutting little fool with the comical mustache, he ingested poison and shot himself when he heard the Master was coming.
Liar! You are a murderer, and you will stand and watch, filthy Korean mongrel. You will watch while I wrap my hands around your own lying throat and squeeze the life from you.
An old evil wears a new face in Destroyer number 112, Brainstorm. Buy it now from Graphic Audio.
Remember, you live at my convenience, Korean.
You die at mine.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net.